エジプトから救い出すというように神様に語られました。
So let's set the stage here.
でここでその状況を説明します。
I'm walking in the desert.
私は砂漠を歩いていて。
I look to my right.
右を見ると。
I see sand.
砂が見えます。
I look to the left.
左を見ると。
I see sand.
砂が見えます。
I look to the center.
真ん中を見ると。
I see a bush.
木が見えます。
The bush is on fire. The bush starts talking to me. The bush starts talking to me, telling me that I'm going to go to Egypt and I'm going to deliver my people. And Moses says, What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you?
あなたの前に神様なんて現れてないってそう言われたらどうすればいいの
What?
なんで
It's a burning bush talking to
you 燃えてる木だよ
something inside of him was blocking something made him so afraid that even a burning bush didn't promote a response
でも彼はもう本当に彼の中の恐れがそういった燃えてる木でさえも見えないようです
It shows that there's something internal inside of us that a lot of times if we don't really spend time listening and hearing God, we still will listen to our fear over what God's telling us to do.
そのようにもう絶対これは神様だという状況にいても日々神様と時間を過ごしていなければ恐れがそれすら見えなくしてしまいます。
Every time when I thought about this story, I started to think of how many times that we as individuals hear from God, know that we hear from God, someone else tells us and confirms it, and yet we still are stressed out and worried about, we're still afraid.
これを考えて、読んでた時にいろいろ考えて、よく私たちも神様に恐れを感じる時に、何か語りかけられ、それをまた違う人からも言われ、
It wasn't just Moses that had this struggle, though. It was a common occurrence all throughout the Bible. There's something in all of us as individuals that keeps us from accomplishing all that God wants us to accomplish. Whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student, whether you're a salaryman, God has something for you to accomplish. In fact, something He's already said to you. He said, you're going to start a business. I'm just not smart enough. I just don't have enough money.My kids are. I've got children. He said, You're called to be a pastor. I just don't have enough knowledge for that. You know what? It's just too hard. He might have called you to be an actor or a writer. I'm just not creative enough. I'm just not.This didn't just happen with Moses, but it also happened with Gideon. Anybody know the story of Gideon? Okay, so Gideon was one of the judges in the book of Judges. So God says to him that I'm going to raise you up as a deliverer as well.
Someone to help to set people free. Let's set the nation free from them.
So God is speaking directly to Gideon. He's hearing Gideon. Gideon's hearing God. And he says, How can I rescue Israel?My clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh. And I'm the least in my family. Now, God was gracious here because Gideon gives God a series of tests in order to prove that what God said is true.
様にこういろいろテストを与えて試練を与えて本当なのかって神様を試したんですけど、ここで神様はすごく憐れみを示されました。
But what's Gideon's focus?
でもギデオンが注目しているのは何でしょう。
Ah, I'm not good enough.
私はそんなに良くない。
Oh, I'm afraid, like, really say, I'm afraid of the people. I'm not strong enough to approach those people.
人々が怖いよ。そんな勇気はないよ。
He was able to overcome.
でも彼はそういった恐れも克服することができる。
But many people stay in that same place of living, oh, I'm just not able, and stay in the exact same place that they are for years.
彼は克服できましたけど、多くの人はずっとその私はそんなに良くない、強くない、その状態を何年も何年も続けます。
I'm not talking about changing jobs in particular or moving houses.I'm talking inside of yourself, something that keeps you scared and afraid to do anything. And then we have Peter in Matthew 14, 22 to 33, which we should be writing down, but it's okay. So I'm zipping through these really fast. Peter, is a lot of times we hear the story of Peter, and Peter I'm going to use for two little kind of, I would love to speak this by itself.
But
so in this section we have a Peter stepping out of the boat. Jesus on the water, and Peter basically says, if it's you, God, call me to yourself. The other disciples are all sitting in the boat like, they're all afraid. Peter says, forget this, I'm jumping out of the boat. I can picture Peter like running to Jesus, like, yeah, Jesus, I'm coming. And then he says, wait a minute, I'm walking on water. And as soon as he did that, he looks down and starts to sink. Now there's two things here, two things to observe. One, Peter got out of the boat, which demonstrates courage. He saw Jesus and just responded. It wasn't until after he started looking at his circumstances that he began to think, wait a minute, I shouldn't have done that. And for many of us, that's what we do. We respond right away even. And then we think, oh, did God really tell me that? Am I supposed to do that? And we start to sink. Our circumstances drive us to insanity. They drive us to live fearfully. But Peter had the blessing of being able to walk on water and experience that. Because the 11 disciples that were in the boat, they didn't get to experience anything. They missed out on the experience of walking on water because they were afraid. We miss seeing miracles in our lives because we're afraid. Does it mean that we're not going to have a decent life or we can't accomplish things? The disciples experienced many, many different miracles. But they missed out on that blessing. And so we have to look at our own circumstances and start to think of, like, what am I missing out because I'm afraid? Because that foreboding feeling of loss is controlling the decisions that I make. Then we have in Numbers 13:25 to 14:10 another story. And in this story, 12 spies are sent into the promised land. And 10 spies come back and give a negative report. And 2 spies come back and give a positive report. The 10 spies come back and they say, oh, these guys are way too big. There's no way that we can take out these people. They're going to wipe us out. They looked around at their circumstances in the natural and they couldn't see the God of the impossible. Their negative report resulted in all the entire nation having to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. You'd be amazing at the effect that your fear, your own fear, not, doesn't only have on yourself, but your own fear affects others. Oh, be careful. Don't do too much. Oh, don't have that much faith. Be careful. Ah, you know what? It doesn't take that much prayer. Oh, it doesn't take that much courage. Oh, just sit back, relax, don't do anything. Many times people are giving you advice not because they think what's best for you, it's because they're afraid. And so you have to decide what is going to drive me, how am I going to view my circumstances? I don't know about you, but when I start looking at my circumstances sometimes, I get myself in a lot of trouble. I do it all the time. I sit there and think, okay, God's called me, let's say, like God's called me to a CAJ for a season. And then I start thinking, wow, is this career suicide? Is this, like, am I just going to end up being here for the rest of my life? Like, is this all that there is for me, God? Is this what, like, am I going to become, end up being nothing? Like, is this what I'm going to be? But I'm not saying that working at CAJ is bad in any way. But we all realize in life we're looking or trying to grow in ourselves, grow in our different ministries, grow in who we are. And so it's being able to analyze that rightly without fear. Because fear drives us to make wrong decisions. It drives us to make crazy decisions. I think back to us making, well, fear or faith, they both make you crazy decisions, but but I think of, sometimes I think about us coming to Japan. And I know that wasn't a decision made out of fear. But every so often I look back at my friends or like my friends at home and I realize that by making this step of faith, God has really blessed us. One of the things that drives my wife and I crazy when we go back to Canada is that people will say certain things to us. Like, they'll say, oh, I wish I could do what you did. They'll say, you guys are so brave. I only wish I could make that decision. Kamala, what? Anybody can make that decision. If God speaks and we respond, you can make that decision. But people will say to me, well, I have a house now. I have a pension that I'll lose if I go. I won't have the comforts that I have here. For that one, we always say, like, it's not like Japan, you're going to lose comforts. It's hard.
<laughs>
And so these men in the Bible give us great examples because of ways that we fear, but how God can teach us to overcome. But I'm going to be straight up. There's actually a few hindrances that keep us that we don't really want to address.
Like hindrances to faith that we don't want to talk about.
It's unfortunate, but a lot of our fear comes from a lack of faith. In many ways, they're just opposites. They're not exact opposites, but they're opposites. I'm either driven by fear or I'm driven by faith. Fear will always hinder you, faith will always thrust you forward. Fear says that's not the word of God, faith says I'm moving on the word of God. In fact, it says without faith in the Bible in Hebrews 11, without faith it's impossible to please God. So a practical example, going back to my example about being in my son being deciding to put him in Japanese school. If Kath and I's conversation starts going to the realm of, oh well, he's gonna have this happen to him, he could be ijime'd, there could be problems, if we're talking about that kind of thing all the time. If that's our starting point, many times we're going to be led to make decisions out of fear. But if our starting point is seeing what God says, then we can address the fear from the right perspective. If the Lord, if the two of us are talking, we believe that God is saying, put your son in Japanese school. And we have other people helping us to confirm that this is a decision. It makes it much easier to begin to say, we are going to stand on faith, the two of us are agreeing, we're standing by faith, and we're putting our kids in Japanese school. When the voices come against us, we say, no, that's not what God said. But this leads to the second thing that's a hindrance, and it's misunderstanding the character of God. I think that this is one of the biggest hindrances to our life of faith that there is. When I was growing up, I went to a church and they spent so much time talking about the character of God, who He is. When the painting or the picture of God in your head is built by the Bible, you start to understand God's heart for your situations. God is our refuge and our fortress.
God is our protector.
God is love. God cares for us. God is our provider. God is our love. Not just is love, is our love. Our beloved. I love my children. I love my wife. If something was going to, if a car was about to drive and hit, I would run over, push my kid out of the way and take it full force without thinking twice about it. And God is 10,000 times more loving and a protector than I am. So why are we afraid? Why do we fear? If that is our God, why do we fear? If that is our God, why aren't we living a life of faith? Why aren't we believing for the impossible or the miraculous? Why aren't we changing the way that we live and making people outside recognize it? As Christians, there has to be something that's different. And it keeps us, it actually affects our prayer life. It keeps us from setting our minds on those heavenly things, the things of God.
Heaven, setting our minds on heaven.
Recognizing that these things drive us. Another thing that hinders us as well is the lack of love. In 1 John 4:7, the Bible says that perfect love throws aside all fear. I don't know if you guys ever had that feeling when you feel the Lord prompting you to do something. I had a student the other day. We were having gym class. And my arm was killing me. Like I had hurt it playing basketball. I had to teach football, but I could barely lift up my arm. And I can see this kid, he was like wrestling with like, I told him that my arm hurt because he could see that I couldn't throw it, and he's wrestling with what to do. And I looked at him and I knew he wanted to pray for me, but I just let him suffer. So I just watched him as he's, how bad is it hurt? And so finally he got the courage and he said, Mr. Ely, can I pray for you? I was kind of embarrassed because I wish I had done that first because I didn't even pray for myself. So he laid hands on me and he prayed for me. And he's like, well, does it feel perfect right now?
I'm
like, I said, no, he said, not really, it doesn't feel indifferent. But for two weeks, I had had the same pain. Well, the next day I woke up and actually felt a little bit better. And then the next day, it was like almost 100%. And the next day I was throwing a football at full force. And I went back and told the kid, yes, this is what happened. My arm was completely healed. So what happens if he wasn't driven by what God was telling him to do? In essence, it would have been unloving for him. It would have been unloving because he would miss out on the blessing of seeing what God does. And I miss out on the blessing of experiencing the healing in my arm. That's unloving. Or loving is loving. So. How many of us are because of our fear, we're afraid to pray for one another. We're afraid to do things for one another. We're afraid to bring dinner for one another. We're afraid that we're going to be embarrassed or look bad. As a church, perfect love casts out all fear. There's no embarrassment. There's nothing that's too great a service. But fear keeps us from experiencing the blessing of God. I want to challenge you as we kind of come to a close. I want to challenge you, if you can write these down, please, if you can remember them. If anybody wants my notes afterwards, I will gladly just take your, I'll give you my email to email me, and I will send you my notes.
Did you follow?
I honestly believe that, like, even sitting here listening, there's only a certain percentage that you're going to actually hear and understand and take. And so, with that, these are the things that I just want to challenge you guys to do. One, we must know and understand the character of God. How we do that? How do we do that? It's like we do that through cultivating. We do that through we activating faith through the study of what God says and through prayer. To be honest with you, if you're not spending daily time with the Lord, you cannot understand and know God. For those of you who are married, just imagine if you decide not to talk to your wife for 2 weeks, or husband for 2 weeks. Even within those 2 weeks, there's going to be a distance created in which you have to get to know what happened to that person throughout the week. We get to know God by spending time with Him, period. And we can't leave it to like 2 minutes or 5 minutes kind of on the side. It's not a matter of like setting a time, but it needs to be an intimate time where you are focused on God. The other thing we have to do is we have to learn to love. I said that earlier, but we must cultivate the gift of God that's inside of us. Second Timothy 1 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. If you decide not to read anything else or do any of the homework that I give you, I would challenge you to read the story about the 12 spies. Because those two spies, Joshua and Caleb, give us like a whole nother. I love those guys. It said of Caleb that he was of another spirit. I mean, when they were allowed to go in the promised land, they were like, we'll give you some small land over there, and he was like, forget this, man. I want to go deal with some more people. How does that translate? There's something about that fight in him that just said, I am throwing all fear aside and I just want to live my life to the end. And I would challenge you to live that same way. So what I want to leave you guys with this, I have 2 pages of homework. And what I suggest is this, I gave you guys each a story. Moses, Peter, there's a 4 story, Gideon, 4 different stories of fairly long passages. And so with this, what I challenge you to do the rest of the week, it's actually 2 pages of questions because of the translation makes it longer. We can go to this one now first, and then I'll just hold it. And so what I ask you to do is refer to each one of those passages. Sit at your table, open up your Bible, and start to assess these questions. Who is the passage about? What is the response of the persons to God's command? What do they do? How does the individual view, or individuals, like in the spies, view their circumstances? How does the individual view God? How do they overcome their fear? And then how can you apply what you learned about fear in that situation to your own life? And then pray and ask God to speak to you. Ask Him for the courage to give you the strength to overcome it. A message on a Sunday morning is very, 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 very small portion of your everyday life. It's how we live every day and how we spend time every day that makes us, gives us the ability to change. We get so used to coming on Sunday and hearing a great message and then eating some good food and then going off, and we forget to take, many times we forget to take that message and chew on it and see what God has to say in our circumstances, in our homes. I want, as we close, I want to just, like, I want to pray for you guys. I want to pray that God would just start to speak to your hearts about where you're struggling with fear. We all have some place. There's nobody is free from it. There's somewhere in your hearts that something that struggled with. For me, sometimes, like I know for me personally, a place where I fear is, I sometimes fear, like, what's going to happen if I go back to Canada? I think, well, wow, if God brings me back, I've 10 years, I didn't have a job, what am I going to do? Do I dwell in that? No. I have to pray and ask God, what is He leading me? Well, let me focus on the now. Where is He directing me? Just find some of that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this, for Mizuba. We thank You, Lord God, that You have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. We thank You, Lord God, that You've made us a people who live by faith and not by sight. I pray that throughout this week You'd speak to every individual in this room. That You'd bring scriptures to their minds and allow them to hear what You have to say for their lives. In Your name we pray, amen.